Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Greetings and assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Bilal, and our audience.
How you doing this evening, Brother Aziz? Walaikum salam.
Oh, good, my brother. Very good, very good. I'm excited about the show tonight and everything. I'm just excited about it, you know. Alabama.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I am not going to waste too much time giving my words, because we do have the founder of the project of the that's going on down in Alabama, and the investment organization already purchased property down there. Tonight they're going to share with us how they're planning on developing those properties and opportunities that we have. But like I said, without taken away from the value of this program, I'm going to go ahead and bring in. I see we have our brother Samuel Harris. Brother Harris, welcome to the show. Brother Aziz and I are both on with you.
Welcome, Brother Harris.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Aziz, Brother Bynum. Thank you for having
me. Thank you. Thank you for coming back.
And like I said, Brother Harris, all those that are coming on this evening, we don't real big introduction. They know who you are. They're looking forward to hearing your presentation. We have Eastern Standard Time, and at 8 o'clock we'll be shifting right over to the Central Time, and all of them have been informed of this program. So, Brother Harris, I am not going to waste any time. I'm going to turn it right over to you, and we can get started. As you can see, you have a long show.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for having us back, and we have a lot of great news for the community and the diaspora throughout the United States and international. There are a lot of exciting things that are happening right now. If you are a African-American developer, business owner, entrepreneur that's just starting, this is the greatest time for you to position yourself and your family and your community to build generational wealth. You have to be intentional about what you do and stop apologizing, and you have to learn to create your own table and stop asking for permission to do something that you know you can do. If we look back through history, it doesn't matter who you study, all the men and women that have done things of great stature, they started with an ideal first, and they acted on it. They didn't wait for everybody else to come on board, and that's the first thing that I want to talk about, is that we presented to the audience of the New Africa Business Association and all that are connected in early of 2020, we began talking about the ability for African-American developers and individuals to come together and buy up the block in historical cities all across the United States. We developed a plan that's called the Black Belt District. And please be clear, there will be no Black Wall Street without the Black Belt Districts. The Black Belt District runs from Galveston, Texas, all the way up to Harlem, New York. The wealth of America was built in the Black Belt. The Black Belt referenced the soil, and it also references the high population of African-American concentration in a particular area. If you look back in history, every Black Wall Street was derived from the Black Belt District. And individuals that came from the Alabama area the Southern Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, as they moved towards the Midwest and up north, they took the values that they were able to learn from their family, and they created new opportunities in other places. So the first thing is, as a group, we have to stop waiting for opportunity to be hot, and then we jump on it. The opportunity for a lot of us to invest into Selma, Alabama. Selma is ground zero. It is the gateway for African-American opportunity. I'm going to say it again. Selma, Alabama is the gateway for African-American opportunity. The reason why it is the gateway for us, if it were not for that march in 1965, March 7th, 1965, when a group of young, strong, daring, bold, tenacious young men and women dared to defy the elders as well as the policies of the day. And they initiated one of the most monumental moments in history when they crossed that Edmund Pettus Bridge. And when they got down to the bottom of that bridge, they were faced with state troopers, tear gas, billy clubs, horses, and violence, simply because they wanted to see that their parents, their aunts, uncles, and grandparents, and others had the right to vote. That is why Selma is the gateway of opportunity, and it has been laying dormant. Just like the 40 days and 40 nights that the people that were looking for something when they were following Moses, they were out there 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we've been out here for 40 plus years in the wilderness. It's time for us to turn that wilderness into opportunity. It's time for us to turn that timber into new luxury condos that we own. It's time to turn the soil that people refer to as Bloody Sunny into great opportunity. There is much more to Selma, Alabama than just Bloody Sunday. The things that we don't know about the agriculture there, it is the number one import of cotton. It has great soil for agriculture farming, whether it be corn, peanuts, kale, lettuce, tomatoes, new hemp technology that can create new manufacturing opportunities. It is a vast resource of opportunities that is laying there for all of us to be able to take advantage of. And I urge you to stop waiting on the sideline for opportunity to look right for you to go in. Don't be like all the people that are what I call rear mirror investors, where you're always looking back to see what's going to happen. You need to be looking forward. If you're looking what other people do, and by the time you jump in, you've already missed it. So I would urge you not to be a rear mirror investor. Don't wait for it to happen for you to jump in. Selma, Alabama, again, is the gateway of opportunity for African Americans. We can build hotels. We can build new catering companies, new high-tech companies. We can build new opportunity for museums and education. Selma has the highest number of school teachers that are at a vice principal or president level at the historical universities around the country. If you were to go to all the HBCUs, you will find someone from Selma in the leadership. That is how powerful the soil is in Selma. It produced great leaders, great preachers, great advocates, great business people, great opportunity. And the only way that you're going to get a part of this opportunity is that you need to be committed And be intentional. Be intentional with your capital. Whether you work with our group or another group, I'm urging you to get started now. And believe me, Brother Aziz, Brother Bynum, wait is what broke the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
We can no longer
yeah.
wait. The communities are on ICU. And Selma, Alabama is the gateway and ground zero. As I urge all of you, if we can get it right in Selma, and we will, because we are committed and we're being intentional. When we get it right there in Selma and create the blueprint, we will be able to take what we do in Selma to the other 149 cities that we have outlined in our Black Belt District plan. But Selma is first. We need to laser beam focus all of our capital together, because together each accomplishes more. When we work together, we can accomplish so much more. We can see so much more possibilities. We can create so much more opportunity together. It can no longer be what a group is doing in Texas or New York or California or Iowa or Wyoming or Texas or Florida or Georgia. We have to stop doing anything individually like a shotgun bullet. When you shoot a shotgun bullet, everything spreads. It goes into separate directions. We need to have a laser beam focus to where we're together. If we focus our capital in Selma, not only can we galvanize the opportunities that lie there to build new industries, create new opportunities, to create generational wealth, we will be able to take that plan to the next cities. So that's number one, Brother Aziz, Brother Bynum, is that stop waiting till it's hot to get in. The time is now, because wait is what broke the bridge.
Well, Brother Harris,
go ahead.
Brother Harris, I am going to open up some mics and let some of our listeners join in, and they can converse with us as we go along. But like you said, sometimes when we hear valuable information, and of course, like you said, our valuablest information was last year when we first started talking about Selma. But now that we have waited, but we have gained what we have gained. And I'm looking forward to you talking about that this evening. But like
okay.
you said, the waiting part, we didn't gain as much as we would have liked to have gained. But what we have gained, the potential investments, and what we can build on what we have gained, I look forward to you elaborating on that. And like I said, before you start going back, anyone else who have any questions at this point, I am going to open the mics up for those who have called in. You can ask your questions or make your comments before Brother Harris gets started again. The mics are open. We welcome your comments. Okay, Brother Harris, in that case, then I'm going to turn it right back over. Like I said, if you could elaborate on, what we do have and the potential of what we can do with what we do have.
Absolutely. Brother Bynum, I want to thank you. And for anybody that's out there, if you have questions, please chime in. It's important that not only we have a dialogue, but we got to have a two-way conversation. And if there's something that you're not sure of, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Ask the question. So I'm going to go on to my next point. The next point is, what are the gains that we have reached in this last 9 months that we've been out here promoting Buying Back the Block. And I would like to start with this, is that in the good book, it says wisdom is built in a house through understanding. Wisdom is built in a house through understanding. And it's the same thing with business. The only way that you're going to understand what we're talking about, not only are you going to have to ask questions, you're going to have to engage, and you can no longer be in fear of what you're going to lose. There's more that you will gain than you will lose by getting involved and doing something, by changing something, by engaging in something. What you're going to do is be teaching yourself something that you didn't know. You're going to learn something that you didn't know. So please get involved, be engaged. So over the last 9 months, as we got started promoting this initiative, what we've been able to do is we've acquired over 40,000 square feet of space that we own. We have three buildings that we're currently in renovation. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have the Black Belt Boutique Hotel. That building is located directly in front of the mayor's office. It is one of the most premier and iconic buildings in Selma. The building is over 120 years old. This building stood when the Civil War came through, where the Battle of Selma ended. The building hosted and housed a company called Kaiser. If any of you that are ladies on this call and you wear what they call undergarment, Kaiser was a manufacturer of women clothes. It was a Jewish company that is still in business today, and we were able to attain their building, and we are the first African-American owners of historical buildings on that block. And it's going to be monumental. This boutique hotel will be a four-star level hotel. It is going to host dignitaries, government officials, celebrities, people of all walks in life when it is completed. Right now, it's currently in the planning stage, and we are projecting that this hotel will be the first of its kind, will be 100% African-American owned, and it will open towards the fall of 2023, going into the new year of 2024. So by the time the next presidential election is finished and done, the Black Belt Boutique Hotel will be open for business, and we would love for all of those that know about what we're doing to come and see and join in what we're doing. The hotel will not only have amazing rooms, the suites that we are going to have in this hotel development will be the John Lewis suite, the MLK suite, the Joseph Binkham suite, the Frederick Douglass suite. So if you get where we're going, is that we're going to highlight African-American excellence in everything that we do. We're going to make sure that when they come to Selma, and understanding that Selma is the gateway for African-American opportunity, but it's also the gateway of excellence, we're going to showcase that in everything that we do. In addition to having the suites named after iconic historical figures that did amazing things not only to affect for African Americans, but for all people. There's going to be a New Orleans-style restaurant in the hotel that will be full service. It will be something to be reckoned with once it's done. We've already got the commitments for that restaurant. In addition to that, we'll have a coffee bar and other shops inside of the boutique hotel. The second building that we have is going to be an iconic coffee and coffee roastery. We will be able to compete with any company that's out there, and we're going to be not only roasting our own coffee, we're going to be selling it all across the world, right from Selma, Alabama. We're going to create the blueprint for those individuals that may not want to take the risk of initiating and starting a business from the ground up. As we create this blueprint for this new coffee cafe and roastery, it will become a franchise that's available for African-American entrepreneurs to be able to invest in and have a turnkey system that would allow them to be in the coffee business. And it's something as simple as a coffee shop. If you look in our communities, we don't own anything. And our whole goal is to make sure that we change the face of ownership throughout our communities, because you are only respected when you own something. You can have all the diamonds and pearls, Mercedes-Benz and Bentleys, if you don't own the properties that are within a particular area, you will not be respected. The third property that we have will be a family-friendly restaurant. And what's unique about the cafe and roastery and the family-friendly restaurant, since we last spoke, the National Park Association of the United States owns two buildings directly across the street from the properties that we purchased. Now, I want you to really hear me. Wherever you're at, you probably need to stop your car if you're driving. If you're cooking, stop cooking. If you're eating, stop eating. If you're watching TV, turn the TV off. What I'm getting ready to tell you would have changed the lives of thousands of you only if you had acted. The buildings that we purchased, while we've been out promoting to all of you why you need to be in Selma, the National Park Association just announced a little less than 3 weeks ago that they're coming to Selma and they're going to build a 300-seat civil rights movie theater directly across from the building. Now, why do I preface that? That's a big deal. What that means is big money, big capital is on its way to Selma. And if the people on this call had heeded to the many calls that Brother Aziz, Brother Bonham, and many of us within the community have been saying, come to Selma and buy it up, you would have seen a five to six fold in your investment, less than a year. That doesn't happen all the time. When opportunity knocks, you have to be ready to get it. That doesn't happen too frequently, but when it does, it sure feels good to be in and be on the side of the person that decided to purchase buildings in that area. So we were able to benefit from being in a position to recognize that Selma is the gateway for opportunity. We were able to benefit, and all of you could have benefited. And I'm going to say to you, as we bring other opportunities, don't wait. Don't miss it. In addition to that five to six fold increase that has happened for ourselves, there are four other African-American developers. The same thing happened for them. So we're not in this by ourselves. So there are other African-American developers that saw the same thing that we saw. They listened to what we said. They all purchased. In addition to the buildings that we were able to purchase, we were able to bring over 60 other investors to the Selma area. Now, a large percentage of those investors were not African Americans, but they listened to the call that we had out. They had no idea of the Opportunity of Selma. So they have bought up more than 69% of all the downtown buildings. We have a group from Tampa, where we're from. In addition to the buildings that we purchased, they came behind us and they purchased over $7 million of buildings. They paid cash for them. They are a Caucasian firm. We cannot have the go-along, get-along game in our community anymore. Don't go. You don't want to go along with somebody that you don't know. That's wrong. You want to go along with the people that have been out there talking and just talking and talking and talking. We want you to understand that in this community that we're in, if we do not act, our communities are on ICU, the next generation will be lost. Not lost because they are doing things wrong. They're lost because the opportunities for them will not be there. They will miss out on generational wealth. They will miss out on home ownership. They will miss out on owning a business simply because the men and women that have the ability to do something choose not to. We can no longer tolerate that within our community because if you see what the outcome is, if you look in Austin, Texas, you look in D.C., you look in Baltimore, Maryland, you look in Tampa, Miami, Jacksonville, Selma, Birmingham, you see it's all the same. We travel from city to city. Right now, I'm in another city. But we're going to make the time to make sure that we let the people know there's opportunity out here. And we're willing to help you get that, but you got to work with us. You can't stay on the sideline. So opportunity will come and opportunity will go. For those that can see it, you can seize the opportunity. So I didn't say see it. I said seize it. That is S-E-I-Z-E. You got to seize the opportunity. Not season it. Don't put no more seasoning on it. We want you to seize it so that we can be able to buy up the block in multiple cities. And regardless of who owns the buildings, as long as it's 51% or greater owned by African Americans, that's the goal. So that is the progress that we've made, Brother Aziz, Brother Bynum, is that we have seen significant growth in the Selma area. In addition to all the investors that have come there, there is still even greater opportunity that we haven't even talked about. But we need the people in the community to understand that if you have capital, you need to be putting that capital to work with an African-American developer that can make that turnaround, not only do something for that community, but it can do something for you and your family. So the next boom, if you want to know what it is, number one, and we've talked about it, if you have capital that you have not paid capital gains on yet, you've sold some real estate, you got big investments in Apple Computer, you made a lot of money in Bitcoin, and Uncle Sam's coming, and he's going to be asking you to pay a significant amount of that money in taxes. To shield yourself, you can be able to do that in what's called opportunity zones. Opportunity zones is a tax legislation that was passed in 2017. Cory Booker, a Democrat out of Jersey, and Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina, they created this bill. It was signed by President Trump. It was put into law, and it is the greatest piece of tax legislation that has ever hit the United States. And if you are listening and you hear what I'm getting ready to tell you, the Opportunity Zone Tax Legislation Act is the greatest way for African Americans to get reparations. You hear the words reparation and people are saying, send us a check. We don't want them just to send a check. We want to make sure that we can work under the same rules that the billionaires have been using for centuries, which is tax loopholes that allow you to legally shield your wealth to be able to take that money and invest it into other investments so that you can be able to not only create new wealth for yourself, you can create new wealth for that community that you invest in. So Opportunity Zone legislation is reparation on steroids. It allows you to go vertical in literally every area of the United States. In that legislation, there's 8,762 opportunity zones. There is an opportunity zone in every state, every city, every county in America. And if you want to know where that information is at, you can go to our website. It is samgenrealty.com. That is samgenrealty.com. Now, Brother Bynum, you want to chime in?
I was just sitting there. Yes, I was going to, and you're just about ready to answer the questions, I think, when you were talking about opportunity zones, and I was going to ask you what qualifies for opportunity zones, but I think you're just about ready to tell us just about in your explanation.
Okay, yes, sir. I was definitely getting ready to go there. So in the opportunity zone legislation, any asset class that yields a capital gains will be able to benefit from opportunity zone tax legislation. So, and when I mean asset class, I'm talking about real estate, the sale of gold, Bitcoin, jewelry, property, stocks, those type of things. So who qualifies for it? Everybody does. That's what's so amazing, is that everyone can participate in the opportunity zone. And the way that you participate is that you take your capital gains or other capital that you have and you invest it directly into what's called an opportunity zone fund. An opportunity zone fund is where it's a group of managers or developers like myself. They manage projects and they find new opportunity. And the way that the tax law works is that, as an example, if you had $100,000 of capital gains, you can take that money and invest into an opportunity zone fund. And based on the rules, you can get a 10% reduction in what you have to pay Uncle Sam. So if you keep that money into the opportunity zone fund, you're still going to pay taxes on it, but it's going to be 10% less. Now, as long as you keep it into the fund for 10 years, one day, let's say that $100,000 that you put in, you paid your capital gains tax minus the 10% that you got as a credit, and you hold it into an opportunity zone fund. And in 10 years, one day, that $100,000 grows from $100,000, and the value of your portion of that portfolio is now worth $1 million 10 years, one day from now. On the gains of that investment, you pay zero taxes. That's why everyone that is listening, that's on this call, wherever you may be, you need to be in an opportunity zone fund. You need to have money invested. If you have money that has yielded you capital gains, it will give you the opportunity to be able to have that money not only have a reduction in your tax base, but the opportunity for it to grow and at the same time do something good for the communities that absolutely need it. And the communities that need it most are the African-American communities. If you were to go to our website and you will look at the Opportunity Zone map, more than 80% of the Opportunity Zones that are in America are located either in rural or urban areas. What does that mean? If you live in an urban area, that means that the medium income and the chances of you being in a wealth position is not so great. If you live in a rural area, that means that there are not resources and infrastructure there, and the opportunities for you to be able to get access to capital are not so great. The Opportunity Zone legislations will change that, because they will have investors and developers like myself coming to put capital to work in communities where you live, in communities like Selma. Selma, again, is the gateway of opportunity for African Americans, and the greatest way for us to be able to galvanize our capital together is utilizing the Opportunity Zone tax legislation to be able to do that investment. Right now, there are more than 500 major Opportunity Zone funds that are out there. Most of them are invested into what we call gentrification development. If you look at where they're putting capital to work, they're going into African-American communities because the money and the capital where it's coming from is not coming from people that look like us. And their intentions are great, but what winds up happening, go ahead.
No, go right ahead. No, I was saying yes because that's my point. And I can't wait to ask because I know it's white folks that are jumping on this big time. But no, I'm sorry for interrupting.
So here's the thing. It's all of the other groups that don't look like us that are taking advantage of it. And so what they see, and I want to say this. This is the third point I want to make, is that Opportunity Zones is the greatest tax legislation that has ever hit this country. It is reparations on steroids. But in order for it to work for us, for our communities, we have to be involved. We have to be engaged. We have to support African-American developers and money managers and brokers that are bringing these type of programs to our communities. Because if we don't, what will happen is other groups will see the opportunity and they will seize it. Go right ahead.
And the audience too, just like Brother Harris was saying, when you see a point you want to make, we ask you to make it. But Brother Harris, just like you're saying, these programs was underwritten for us. It was underwritten for African Americans. It was underwritten for Black communities. And like I said, even though these programs are especially written to stimulate business activities in African-American communities, like Brother Harris is saying, if we don't take the advantage of this, we're going to because we haven't even gotten in, and this is my next question to you for some clarity, but we haven't even gotten into the large amount of monies that is being exempt during the time of growth. But anyway, Brother Harris, like you said, these programs was underwritten especially for us, and don't take the advantage of it. And you know, we talk about Brother Harris, the example that in 2020. Our consumer spending was more than $1.7 trillion. So again, if we're talking about in 1 year, our consumers just think if we turned our business activities around and had those monies coming into our communities, and this is a question I have for you, and making certain I got clear to you on this. You're telling me that if we thought that type of monies from our investments, such as the hotels and all of the things that we would be bringing in from the properties that we already have for the next years, we don't have our taxes are more or less a tax exempt. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. So again, my thing is, those that we would be asking for our investment, and normally around $5,000 or something like that. I mean, becoming a part of business owners as to where you're bringing in billions of dollars annually and taxes are exempt, and in 10 years, those billions of dollars that you've made, you can walk away tax-free. My goodness. But like I said, those programs meant for us, but like you said, if we don't take the advantage, others will. And I don't blame them when you see that type of return. Our floor is, Brother Harris, you can, like I said, we've been here for a long time. We're our 8 o'clock crew hasn't even come for time. They'll be on, but like I said, our mics are open, sharing of our discussion.
Yeah,
Brother Harris.
Brother Aziz, so I'd like to get in. This Brother Aziz, let me ask a few questions. Brother Harris?
Yes, sir.
My question to you is, I've been listening listening to everything, and I have a question. And, as we know, a great many of African Americans don't have the wealth to give large sums of money to invest in certain things. And we have people that, as a lot of these public organizations, that on public television that produce programs, they ask for yearly contributions. Well, outside of a contribution, let's say if a person don't have wealth, but they got an extra $200, $300, $400, $500 a month that they could put into something, invest into something. Are there any programs for people like that? That have $100 to $500 or more per month to put into an investment where they've pledged this, they're under oath, or however you do it, a contract that this is how much money that they're going to put in every month, and they're going to do this if they're living for 10 years straight or whatever. Do we have anything that could exist like that, maybe for that majority of people out there that don't have that kind of wealth to invest into something right away, but yet still they just want to be a part of this?
Right. Well, we need them all to be a part of it. Thank you, Brother Aziz. Great question. Here's what I would say to that question is that if a person has $200, I believe they have $10,000, and here's why. Brother Bonham just alluded that our community spent $1.7 trillion in 2020. Our communities got money from the stimulus package. They got money for EIDLs. They got all kinds of money. And you know what they did? Our community went and spent the money with the people that own everything. That's why those people are now wealthier than they've ever been. Just listen to this. In 2020, the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, he doubled his wealth in 2020 in a pandemic because our community have been gracious consumers. That means we're constantly buying. We're constantly spending the money we earn, and we're not investing it back into having ownership. We're not investing it back into being productive, creating our own product, creating our own cars, creating our own clothes, creating our own chicken plants, creating our own farms, our own building. Whenever you get money and you're giving it back to the people that own everything, you can never become wealthy. Until our community unthinks and rethinks how they spend their money, and instead of spending, they should be investing. I would say this to anybody that has $200. Make a pledge to yourself that you will not buy anything else other than the bare necessities and put that money aside and wait and look how much money you would save in a year's time. Stop going out to the chicken shack or to the Maserati place or the Mercedes or the Bentley or the weekend get-up. So our answer that way, Brother Aziz, is that we got to change what we do. We got to stop the spending because the money is there. And here's a proof. We can't get upset when other investors come to our community and they build it up, especially when the programs are built for us. We have to remember, we have to work together and take advantage of these tax legislations. Take advantage of the technology that allows you to be able to scale your business in a way that we couldn't do prior to COVID-19. So if things don't change in our communities, we have to look at each other in the face and we have to look at ourselves in the mirror. It will be our fault if our children's children don't have the opportunities that our grandparents and our great-grandparents died and gave their blood for, and our parents. It will be our fault if we don't cut off the spending. So I encourage anybody on this call, if you don't have $10,000 to invest, stop spending, and you'll have $10,000 very soon. If we were to collectively get the African-American community, there's 44 million African-Americans in the United States. If we were to effectively get half of the African-American community to make a simple pledge that they're going to start investing into opportunity zone funds rather than buying products on these large networks, rather than spending their money online, rather than going to the shopping mall, rather than buying cars, rather than going out to eat, cooking food at home. And I'll say this to my sisters. I love my African-American sisters, my mothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, daughters. We have to be able to let them know that they're beautiful. I don't know where it came about that our women have to go do things to themselves to make themselves look beautiful. They're already beautiful as they are. And we have to be able to show them that they don't have to do some of the things that we're seeing today out in the marketplace. So buying hair and nails, all that stuff is fine, but guess what? That's your wealth. If you are spending money on large amounts of hair products, large amounts of nails and all that stuff is beautiful. But that's where the wealth is going. You know, Maya Angelou said in one of her poems, the wealth of the woman is her hair. And it doesn't matter if your hair is short or long, it's your hair. Take advantage of that blessing that you have and knowing that your wealth from that hair bursts off new opportunities. New generations are birthed from you. So you are beautiful as you are. So if we can get the African-American community to recognize that we have to stop spending and start recognizing that we are beautiful as a people and we don't need all these things that the society or the world says we need, and you will be surprised how much wealth we would create within our own community when we make the decision to do that. So we want to teach you
very
to be
good.
An investor and not be a spender. That's what we want to teach you. And invest into real estate, because they're not manufacturing any more real estate. If someone tells you that they're manufacturing antiques, you run. But they're not making any more real estate. So if you can strategically buy properties whether it be in the areas that we're talking about or an area that you have already identified, you need to be buying some dirt. We need to be having large classes of young men and women learning how to drive a bulldozer, learning how to till the land, learning how to create products that we can sell to everybody else. So if you think about it, all the wealthy people of this world are producing something that the consumers want. That's why they're wealthy. So if we want to join that class as a group, we have to create new high-growth industries that have not even been thought of yet. And the only way that we can do that, my friends, is that we have to take control of our own destiny. We have to create our own table. Stop begging to be at the seat of the table that doesn't want you to sit there and only give you crumbs. You can create your own table and have a feast. And when you're having that feast, it will be with people that love and respect you and that want to see you do well, that will love and respect your money and your humanity. My brothers and sisters, we got to get back to loving ourselves, loving each other, and knowing that when you deal with an African-American business, you're dealing with a person of great integrity, great character, honor, and love for family. That's what it means to me every day that I go out. I know I represent you. Every walk that I take, I know your walk. Every breath that I breathe, I know your walk. As an African-American real estate broker and developer, we face all types of hurdles on a daily basis. But it doesn't stop us from working hard to want to make a difference. And if we can go through the things that we have to go through, I encourage you all, please get on board with what we're doing with the Black Belt District. And I'm going to just recap it. Selma, Alabama is ground zero, and it is the gateway of opportunity for African Americans. We need abundance of people. We need an army of people. We need engineers. We need architects. We need electricians. We need brick masons. We need new scientists that can help us create the best foods for our community. We need new scientists to help us create materials from hemp to create the next building product. If you look at what's happening, the crisis here with the pandemic, lumber prices have gone through the roof over 600%. We have to find new ways to build homes and structures that we can reduce the cost by 20% to 30%. And the only way that we can do that is that we must harness the brightest minds within our community using the intellect and the nesting place, which is HBCUs. There's an abundance of talent that is not being used and is not being utilized or galvanized simply because we're always saying the same thing. We don't have the money. We do have the money. Stop spending. Stop spending your intellectual wealth. Stop spending your research. We can have our own R&D research lab. Stop spending your research money. Stop spending your development money on things that are either going to be materialized, flushed down the toilet, or thrown in the trash. We have to be intentional, and I'll end with that. Being intentional means if you are an African-American entrepreneur or an individual that is in the market of buying a home, you should be intentional in finding an African-American broker to work with. Stop going to Keller Williams or the Remax or the EXP or the Century 21s. find an independent African-American real estate broker.
Yep.
Find an independent African-American mortgage broker to get you the financing. Those individuals that look like you, that walk your walk, are going to fight harder for you than anybody that you know. If you are looking to launch a new product or a service, find someone within the African-American business community that can help you with a business plan. Stop just always thinking of, I got to talk to the congressperson or the person that's at the city council or the NFL player or the baseball player. Talk to the business community.
Yep.
And support them.
Yep.
If you're going to a grocery store and there is no African-American grocery store in your area, then guess what? Start one.
Yep.
Start a campaign to where you start an African-American grocery store to where now people can come and patronize your business.
Well, Brother Harris, we're going to ask you to hold Wim.
Yeah.
Now go to, again, our mics are open. They've been open. We've asked earlier, and we're going to ask you again to share in on our comments. I know we'll be going to our central time here in just a few moments, and hopefully Brother Harris can spend as much time with us as he can, because this is very, very valuable information. But again, if you have comments, if you have any comments, our mics are open. You can ask Brother Harris or make your comments. We welcome your comments. The mics are open.
Yeah, Brother Aziz again. I wanted to say that when Brother Harris answered my question in so many ways, our people definitely are kind of controlled by that gravitational pull of materialism. We do tend to buy some of everything we don't need, and we see others that don't style or dress or buy all the fancy stuff we do, and we wonder why they're progressing. And I thank you, Brother Harris, for that comment, and I hope our listeners were listening quite clearly at that, because you're right. If we cut back on some of that spending, just giving our money away, then we will see our bank account grow.
Absolutely.
We'll be able to invest with others like that. And that was a very good presentation and an answer to the question that I asked, Brother Harris. And thank you for that.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brother Aziz.
Our mics are still open. Comments get a welcome. But Brother Harris, I guess until we start getting a little bit more feedback here, I want to go back to, again, what we already own and where we can go with what we was on. I want to start with this hotel. Now, Brother Harris, and some of our listeners who was you spoke earlier, they didn't hear a lot of the information I think that we are getting ready to talk about right now. So you may want to go back. But my question is just like I said, the properties that we already own and the properties that can be renovated, that's going to be renovated, and we have the opportunity to grow as business owners, investing together and growing together. And I'm going to just start with the hotel. Is this hotel, because we, you know, as African-Americans, we have many conventions, our churches, our businesses, and I know many of our religious organizations, when we have these conventions, we are talking about sometimes 30, 40, 50,000 patrons at many of these conventions. And so, again, I don't know of any African-American establishment as to where we own a hotel, as to where we could have these conventions. But here in Selma, we're talking about building a hotel, and I understand this hotel is no more than a block or so away from the water. So again, my question is just with the conventions alone, would we be able to hold large conventions like I just spoke of, and like I said, especially now that we know that the new museum and all of that, and that museum, like I said, the tourist attraction, that's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's almost like a Washington, D.C. type traffic flow. So again, but just like I said, start with the hotel, and I know there are many, many other businesses that we're going to build with the businesses, like I said, brothers and sisters, that we already own. So I'm going to turn this back over to you again, Brother Harris, if you would. If you start talking about now some of the things we already own and how we can grow. And like I was saying, many of our listeners did not hear your opening. So, again, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Brother Bynum. So on the hotel is a boutique hotel, and it will have limited rooms for this particular hotel because it's a boutique hotel. However, we do see the opportunity to have larger hotel development built there because the opportunity that is coming to Selma is going to create that ecosystem that's going to drive the necessary build out for a 200 or 300 room hotel. As I speak right now, Selma has over 700 people a month that cannot come to the city because there's not enough hotel space. So the one hotel development that we're doing and building out is not enough. So for the people that are on this call, we need you to be a hotel developer or get partnered with somebody that's a hotel developer and come to Selma. There is property that is for sale that we can direct you in the right place to get it done, and you call us directly. We will make sure that you get the right information so that that can happen. Here's some statistical data for you. In the United States of America, 79% of all hotels are owned by Asian and Indian Americans or foreigners, 79%. The remaining 21% that is there, 19% of that is owned by Caucasian groups and other. There's only 1.5 to 2% of the hotels that exist, and we're talking thousands, tens of thousands of hotel buildings in America that are owned by particular groups and they don't look like us. So we need more high-growth hotel owners, not just in Selma, but all across the United States. So what I would say to the people, if you're interested in becoming a hotel developer or partnering with us for opportunities, you can call our office at 813-358-5947, or you can go to our website, which is samgenrealty.com. But the opportunity is enormous. And then to end up on what Brother Aziz was talking about, as well as Brother Bynum, when you look at the hotel space, you have church organizations that go to major cities every year, and African-American entrepreneurs do not get any of that business. That's why we desperately need more African-American developers. If you will get in the game and participate to help us do this, we can change the guard by changing the ownership. So the hotel development is going to be amazing in Selma. We're looking forward to it. We're getting a lot of positive traction. And as I stated earlier, if you were not on the call, we have been out here for a little over a year talking about why Selma is the gateway of opportunity for African-American entrepreneurship. Since we purchased these buildings, we've seen a 5- to 6-fold in the value. So let me explain how value works. If the market says is worth $100 and someone is willing to pay $200 for it, that value goes from $100 to $2, $200 overnight. So what has happened in Selma, when we got there, it was a very low entry point to buy a property located on a river, near a river, in a downtown area. It was a few $100,000 to buy a property. This was a year ago. Today, the smallest property is going for over $500,000. The properties like the ones that we purchased are going for over $1 million. Simply because when other people see value and they see opportunity, they're willing to pay a price for what they believe it will be worth in the future. And they're paying for these properties in cash. So if you want to be an investor or a developer, you want to be in this game, you cannot be afraid to invest money. I always tell people, scared money can't make no money. And I'm going to say it again, scared money can't make no money. If you're scared to invest,
right,
you don't need to do it. If you're
that's
scared
right
to take a risk, keep that 9-to-5 job. But if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to have to put your time at risk and you're going to have to put your money at risk in order to see an outcome that not only will benefit yourself, but it will benefit the greater ecosystem of our community. So we desperately need more hotel operators throughout the United States. Selma is ground zero, but we need some in Charleston. We need some in D.C. We need some in Louisiana, Texas, Florida, Chicago, New York, that are owned by African Americans. And here's the difference. An African American business person can have what's called a flag, and they're under the umbrella of Marriott or Hilton. They don't own Hilton. They don't own Marriott. That's the reason why we're still tied to the system of where we can't see our wealth grow, because we're being controlled. The only way not to be controlled when it comes to your wealth is that you got to flat out own it. You got to own the brand. You have to own the intellectual knowledge. You got to own the patents, the trademarks, everything. When you don't own those trademarks, you can't go out there and say, okay, at the Marriott, I want to do such and such event without getting their permission. So we're encouraging African-American developers and entrepreneurs to be bold, to be courageous, to be intentional, and help us make a difference in our communities and make a mark that can never be erased. I hope that answers your question, Brother Bynum.
Yes, Brother Harrison, at this time, I want to switch over. We do have our standard time audience on, and I'm going to ask you to stay on with me. And then I'm going to see, is Director Stone or Sister Williams or any of the Black Wall Street representatives out of Oklahoma or Texas, or any of are any of you with us?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone.
Good. Oh, Dr. Stone, how are you doing?
Good afternoon.
And as you know, we have Brother Harris with us. I'm going to switch it over to you and let you and Brother Harris and your Eastern Time crew join us. Welcome to the show, and I'm going to turn it over to you now, Director Stone.
Okay. I think I heard Sister Rahima's voice. Go ahead, sis.
Yes, sir. No, I'm just letting you know I'm present. It's all yours.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Ursa Stone. I'm the National Director of Black Wall Street USA, National Director of the Women's Council. Sheila Cannon, are you on the line tonight?
Mr. Raheem is here.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to see if I invited several of the women that are interested in investing. DeAndrea, are you with us this evening? I'm going to text them, Brother Harris. It's part my fault. For some reason, I was in a Speedy Gonzalez mode on yesterday, and I had everyone coming on the call yesterday afternoon after I talked to Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz. But I do apologize for that, and they kept telling me that they couldn't get on the line. So I am texting them, Brother Harris, because I know that there's about three or four that wants to hear your story and possibly want to invest. Give us just one second, please.
Fantastic.
And I totally agree. I've only been on for maybe about 20 minutes or so, and I strongly agree that we need to invest in our own success. Those that are in a business or have business funding coming, this is one of the greatest opportunities there is with stimulus payments, SBA funding. This is one of the greatest opportunities to take that money and invest in a business. And again, those ladies are interested in what you have to your presentation.
Okay,
your presentation.
Fantastic.
So.
Thank you, Sister Stone, and I'll be delighted to engage with them.
Most definitely. I spoke with them earlier, and they assured me that they were going to get on the call, and I've been, as Elder Bilal was talking, I was trying to text and reach out to some of them. So if I sound a bit distracted, that would be the reason being. Sister Joyce, are you on with us this afternoon? Okay. Well, nevertheless, you guys know that I have some projects that I'm doing, and I'm really DeAndrea, are you on the call? Okay, she texted me and said that she was on the call. We're looking forward to something. Okay. She says that she's on the call. If you could please, DeAndrea, bring your husband, put your phone on speaker so that you and Juwan can hear this brother's presentation and what he's doing. Brother Harris, if you could, and I know you may have explained this 1,000 times, but it's kind of like reading the Bible. Sometimes you read over something. Come again. I'm sorry. Repeat that again.
She was just bearing witness.
Oh, okay. You can read something and you may not catch it the first time, and you go back and you read it two or three times, and the light bulb comes on. So I really want these ladies to hear your presentation. because I do believe we will be able to assist you in the future with this project. If you could, Brother Harris, tell them a little bit about the acreage that you have purchased or your group. Now, how many individuals do you have a partnership? Do you have partners in this venture? Are you the only one that's purchasing the land down in Selma?
Okay, great. Good afternoon, Sister Stone, and it's a pleasure to be on this call. And so with our developer, no, we're not the only ones that are investing in buying property in the Selma, Alabama area. As of right now, there are four African-American developers that have bought substantial amounts of properties in that area, and we happen to just be one of them. Outside of that, the remaining 50-plus investors that have bought properties that are developers, they're all either Caucasian or Asian. And they have bought a significant amount of the downtown area and surrounding areas because they had the capital to do it. They were able to go to their communities and say, this is what we're doing. We need to raise $10 million. And they virtually raised $10 million to buy an entire city block in about 3 days. And see, that's the dynamic that we do not have within the African-American communities. But we will get there, and we are going to get there, where if Sister Stone called us and said, hey, we need $4 million to buy X, Y, Z, we need to be able to say, we'll have your back, and it's done. And that's why it's so important for us to develop what we call the Black Belt districts. What are the Black Belts? Black Belt is a distinguished piece of real estate from Galveston, Texas, all the way up to New York, Harlem, New York. In Malcolm X's speech in 1964, when he was talking about the Ballad of the Bullet, and he was at the Teresa Hotel, in his very first line, he says, Harlem is the Black Belt of New York. What that means is that is a place where there is a large concentration of African-American people residing, and also the soil is very rich. So we want to reclaim the Black Belt District, because without the Black Belt District, there will be no Black Wall Street. Every Black Wall Street was derived from the Black Belt. If it's, whether it's in Oklahoma or it's in South Carolina or North Carolina, Chicago or New York or D.C., the Black Belt is what created the Black Wall Street. So just to tell the ladies a little about myself, I've been in the real estate investment development business for over 28 years. I started in this business when I was 19 years old, and I'll never forget it. I went to a stockbroker school. I wanted to be a stockbroker trader. My girlfriend at the time, which is now my wife for 26 years, and I'm very happy about that. She said that my mom says you can sell ice to an Eskimo. You should go be a stockbroker. I went over to the class, Sister Stone, and the gentleman that was teaching the class was an elderly Jewish man, and he said to me, you'll never make it as a stockbroker. And I asked him why. He says, number one, you're African American. Number two, you have to have an MBA degree. I had neither one of those things. I didn't have the MBA degree, and I wasn't white. But he said because I was African-American, I would never make it. It drove me crazy, and I made a commitment to myself that I will do everything that I can, not only to change the plight of my family, but other people that look like me. As I've traveled across the world and I've seen a lot of different things, the one thing I have not seen, and it's been a very long time since it existed, is an African-American community that is owned, developed, and controlled by African-American people. You can go anywhere in the United States today, and you will not find one city block that is owned 100% by an African-American firm, entity, or individual. We have to change that, and we believe that now is the time that would allow us to be able to do that as a licensed real estate broker, as a licensed finance broker, as a certified opportunity zone advisor. I believe there is enough intellectual knowledge and talent within our community that we can galvanize, that we can do this. And we need high growth thinkers. We need high growth entrepreneurship, and we need lots of capital. We need capital from all sources, but we believe the best tool for us to get capital is from our own community. Because if we get the capital from individuals that look like us, our buy-in is going to already be there. We know your walk before you walk it. We know your talk before you have to talk it, because we've been through it, and we go through it on a daily basis. And what we want to do, Sister Stone, is we want to change those dynamics where African-American women should be at the forefront of everything. This is my personal belief, and the reason why is that they're always the most underrated group in all of the country and everything. African-American women have more master's degrees and PhDs than any group in the world, but they get paid 60% on the dollar. Of the businesses that are in the United States, African-American women own less than 0.32% of the businesses in America. We need more high-growth entrepreneurs that are African-American women that want to bring something new to the marketplace. But in order for that to happen, we have to put capital behind it. And through the Opportunity Zone legislation and using Opportunity Zone funds, we have found a way that will allow us to get reparations without having to beg for it. I don't want to be on the street corner marching, talking, shouting, or begging. We do not have to beg. And we want to encourage the people within our diaspora, stop asking for permission and create your own table of opportunity. So with that being said, Sister Stone, that's a little bit about who we are. I'll provide the name of our company. It is Sam Jin Residential Commercial Realty. We are a 100% owned African-American development and real estate brokerage. We've been around since 1999, and we're going to grow in every community, and we want to transfer our experience and knowledge to individuals like you have on this call so that we can help them, whether they want to be a high-growth entrepreneur or developer. We want to make sure that we are a resource for them.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, the hotel, is it my understanding or did I miss something? The properties that you purchased there, you're going to reconstruct or rehab those buildings and
yes,
turn
ma'am.
Them into hotels and restaurants, right?
Yes, ma'am. So we have three major properties that we've purchased in the downtown market. The first one is directly across from the mayor's office, and why that's important in a small city. Everybody sees the mayor. Everybody sees the mayor's office. So it would be an iconic and distinct location that everybody's going to know where it's at. So with that hotel development, we're going to have boutique hotel rooms. The suites will be named after iconic individuals, and they will be from business to from entertainment to people that witnessed civil rights. But they will be African-American men and women of excellence, because our goal is to promote excellence in everything that we do. Within the hotel, there will be a major restaurant there, New Orleans-style cuisine. There will be gift shops, a bookstore, a coffee cafe within the hotel, and it will be a place that people want to gather and people want to utilize. The one thing that I did not mention on the first call, also, we will have the first rooftop hotel in the city. So
yeah,
that rooftop is going to be awesome. You'll be able to not only see the city, you'll be able to see the Edmund Pettus Bridge from the top of the roof. That rooftop will be used to have VIP events, maybe even weddings and social gatherings for African-American business professionals like yourself that can come and engage and know that when they come to the Black Belt Boutique Hotel that they feel welcome and that we want them there. We're not going to treat you like the brands that you know what I'm talking about. When you come in the door, you're going to be at home. So that's with the boutique hotel. When it comes to the gourmet cafe and coffee roaster, one of the things in our community is African-American families, every day when they get up, entrepreneurs drink a cup of coffee. Within our community, we do not own coffee cafes. We don't own our own coffee brand. So we believe that there's 314 million cups of coffee that are drunk every day. We want a piece of that market share, and we want to own and control it in our communities to where we can reinvest capital to help other entrepreneurs all across America by using our blueprint from the Black Belt District to help create other communities that have a similar success. As an example, I don't know where you're at, but there is a shopping center called Simons. Simons is a large developer of shopping malls. They duplicate those shopping malls from city to city. What we want to be able to do is duplicate the Black Belt District from city to city. So in every city that is on our list, and there may be some that are not on our list, we want to make sure that we have a coffee cafe and roastery. We want to have our own hotel that our friends and family can come and stay at and be at home. And then we have a family-friendly restaurant that will have a full bar and everything, but that will be a place that has our home cooking that we can make it the jewel of our community. Instead of going hanging out at the local Buffalo Wild Wings or the Beef O'Brady's or Hooters, you can come and hang out at this new African-American family-friendly restaurant that gives you the same experience. But the difference is when you walk in and you walk out, you're going to know that it's an African-American-owned business, and we're not going to have to say it. We're no longer going to have to say that we're African-American-owned. We're going to just say we're business owners. When you walk in our door, whether you be white or black or Asian or whatever, you're going to get the same experience that you would get if you went to one of those other enterprises. But it does make a difference that it is African-American-owned because African-Americans are who employ most African-Americans across the United States. So if we want to change the dynamics of our community, we have to become more high-growth entrepreneurs. And then last but not least, with the properties that we're so excited about is that both of the properties for the family-friendly restaurant and the coffee cafe and roastery, there is a two-story building. It is on the corner of Broad and Water. It's at the foot of the bridge. So when anyone comes to the city from any direction, they're going to see these iconic locations. And when the National Park Museum begins the construction on the 300-seat Civil Rights Theater, it is going to automatically make our locations for our cafe roastery and our family-friendly restaurant will be iconic. They've already made an agreement with us that they will send everybody that comes to the museum and the Civil Rights Theater, they're going to be referring them to our location for lunch and for dinner. So we're super excited about what is happening in Selma, but we will be more excited if we can get more of us participating and putting their capital to work, whether it be to invest into what we're doing or to develop your own so that we can help you do that.
Awesome. I want to open this up for, I know I have a few of the ladies that's on the line tonight for Q&A. Does anyone have any questions, concerns, any input that you may want to give at this time?
This is Miranda from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I kind of came on in the middle of the conversation, but I guess, Ms. Stone, you can give me some updates or whatever, but it sounds real good what I did hear, and because we're strong-minded women, and we are very quick, and we have the ability to do so many different things, and he's absolutely correct about the number of black women that hold certain degrees and so forth, but we're not paid what we're worth, and we don't get what we're worth. But is there any way that I can get more information, because it really sounds awesome.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I want to thank you, Miranda, for listening in. I can give you our office number. It's 813.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
813-358-5947. And our web address, it is Samjen, that's Samjen Realty.com. Yes, Sister Stone.
No, that's it. I was about to ask if you had a website.
Okay.
That they can go to as well. So
yes,
no,
ma'am.
No, thank you. Thank you for that information.
Did you say Samjen?
A as in Apple, M as in Mary, J as in Jack, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, Realty, REALTY.com.
Okay, got it.
And to answer Miranda's question, we have ways to help African-American women not only get going, but one of the things she said, want more information. There's tons of information on things to do, but that's the problem. There's too much information. So what you have to do is you have to get with a group that understand what's going on in different sectors of the market and have them as your advisor. Advisors don't always give everything that they're doing just out openly. If you want to hire them, But to provide you a booklet, pamphlet, there's so much of that stuff out there, but it's not going to get you where you want to go. So what I would encourage you to do is to call us. Let's see what it is that you and your group wants to do, and we'll see how we can best help you. If you don't want to do anything on the entrepreneurial aspect and you just want to be an investor, I would seriously recommend that you look at investing in our Opportunity Zone Fund. The fund is going to be investing directly in the Black Belt District, and the Black Belt District is from Galveston, Texas, all the way up to Harlem, New York, which it covers most of the United States. So if you live in North Carolina, Salem has a black belt, Elizabeth, North Carolina, Durham, North Carolina, Raleigh, all of those places have black belt districts. But they need capital in order for them to shine. And the problem with those areas is not that black businesses are not there. They exist. The problem is that we don't own anything. So what we're talking about is changing the ownership. We can't have more businesses with the same thing that we're doing now, which is leasing the building. If you lease a building, you really don't have a business. You're really just self-employed. You're not a owner of a building and you're paying rent. You're just a self-employed person. And we need more high-growth African-American businesses that employ 100 people, 200 people, 1,000 people. We cannot get that without being owners. And the only way we're going to get there is that we need laser beam focus and focus on the place that's going to allow us to create the blueprint. Selma, Alabama, with all that's in me, I know is the place. And the reason why I know, without Selma, Alabama, no one on this call that looks like me, and even people that are on the call that don't look like me, Selma, Alabama affected you too. And I want people to understand, when we say African-American business is what we're focused on, by helping African-American businesses, we help Caucasian businesses. We help Latin businesses. We help Asian businesses, Indian businesses, all of them. They benefit from us doing well. If the African-American business and entrepreneur is doing well, that means everybody else is doing well. Unfortunately, everybody else has been doing well, and African-Americans have been lagging. So it's the opposite. We have to change the dynamics. We have to flip it on its head.
Right.
It can no longer be everybody else doing well, and we're barely surviving.
No, that's true.
And the reason why we're barely surviving, Sister Miranda, is that we have to join together. We have to have a laser beam focus and create the blueprint that works.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you, Ms. Stone, for adding me to this call. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it
Lord.
Is a call that we as African-American women need to hear, because we are a rising economy. And I have been saying that for the last 2 or 3 years. I know that I'm a conglomerate woman. I'm an entrepreneur. There has been some setbacks and delays because of lack of funding. But God has opened that door and afforded an opportunity for us to rise up and take our place.
That's right. That's right.
Now, do we have any of the other ladies that are on the call? Someone started to say something before Miranda spoke up. The mics are open. If you would please identify yourself and come forth with your question.
Sister Stone, I just wanted to say something before the next person engaged. I not only want to agree with what you're saying, African-American women, they are the role models to our children. They're the first teachers.
That's right.
You know, it is so significant that you teach our daughters and our sons how to read, how to write, how to tie their shoes, how to cook, how to clean. It is time for us as a community, as men, not only to stand with you, to stand for you, and to make sure that you, as an African-American woman, has the capital that you need so that you no longer have to accept 60 cents on a dollar when you can get the whole dollar.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's amen.
Amen.
I think someone else went to speak before Brother Harris. If you would, please. The mics are open. Take your place.
Peace and blessings. This is Sister Rahima Rahim from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Director of Black Wall Street at Oklahoma. Thank you very much for coming on, brother. I wanted to ask you a question, but I want to comment on the last thing you said about the brothers standing up with the sisters and being, you know, supporting what they're trying to do and making sure that they're able to have the capital that they need. But you already know that this system was designed to keep our men from working. in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they have a lot of construction. They took the money that was supposed to go to the schools and put it into construction. And occasionally, I'll just stop at a construction site and ask a person directions. Either they can hardly speak the language, or they'll say, "Well, I'm from Arkansas. I'm from Texas. I don't live around here. I don't know." So they will hire people out of another state before they will do a BMW. You have a black man working. So I would say to the sisters, sometimes the brothers, you know, I listened to Brother Harris, he was talking about the things that the sisters teach their children, the boys also how to clean, how to cook, how to tie your shoes. Sometimes it's a blessing if the man cannot find a job, if he can at least support the household by taking care of the children, doing the things that the sister doesn't have to go out and do a regular job or do the entrepreneurial work and then come home and have to cook and clean and do all that as well, or go to an eatery and bring home some food. So I just want to encourage the sisters, if you know a brother and he's good, you know, he's got skills, he loves you, the children, and he's willing to work to help to support you in any way that he can. You know, that's how the Europeans do it. The woman will support, and the man goes to school, and then when he gets his degree or whatever he gets, then he comes home, and then she can switch up. But we've been trained to think that the man is always supposed to have the money. And we know in this society they don't even allow that. But my question to you was, and you can comment a little bit, I just want to get it all out. My question to you was is that we are planning another Black Wall Street Centennial. We're calling it Black Wall Street Centennial Plus One for May 2022. And we wanted to know if there's some way we could prepare for that, you know, and that's the main thing that while we had shortcomings this time because our people took their skills, their money, their talents, everything, most of them took it downtown and built up what the city was doing instead of building up what some other folks in the northern part of the city wanted to do. So I wanted to know if there's some way you could work with us to make sure that training and that teaching that you want to do, that we can have workshops during that centennial time in May or even before, but we'd like to kind of work with you. I know Dr. Stone will welcome that, but I just wanted to throw that out, that we do have a plan and we do want to be able to have entrepreneurs and, you know, and owners. The people in Tulsa, they have money. They just don't know what to do with it. I mean, we as a people, we're told, have money. We just are poor spenders. So
absolutely.
With that, I'll close and let you go forward.
Absolutely. So thank you so much, Sister Reem. We appreciate everything you're doing in Tulsa. So I just want to just go back to what I was saying with Sister Stone. I believe that African-American women are the first teachers to our children and that they deserve to be making a lot more than they're being paid. Now, when it comes to men, I believe that you got to have both. You got to have men and women. Our men have been stripped of a lot of things. But here's what we have to do is we got to stop talking about what we don't have, and we got to start focusing on this concept.
Right.
The concept is let's build the Black Belt District. Let's create ownership where we own the block. And when you own and control the block, you create the narrative. You create the jobs. You create the opportunities. So if we can get our men that do have these skills or these trades, forget about trying to go to those sites that don't want them. Go create their own site. Go create their own opportunity. And work with groups like us that are looking for individuals that have those skills. I can remember growing up, I knew men in my community that were plumbers, that were electricians, that were brick masons. They were all entrepreneurs. And here's what was so unique about knowing a trade. We have to teach our young people, our older people, anyone in our community that they need to have at least five trades that they can do. Five. Because when one trade area is not doing well, you need to be able to go to a different skill set and use it. we can no longer be one-dimensional. But if you have at least five trades that you can do and you're a master of three of them, you need to be able to do at least five different trades, but be a master of three. You will never be broke. You will never be without any money. You will be able to support any of the dreams that your family has and the philosophy that we have. My wife and I are in the business together. For more than 26 years, we've been at it together working because we know that teamwork is what makes the dream work. We cannot no longer be a husband or a wife or a girlfriend or a friend, whatever you are. You can't keep clicking that 9-to-5 clock because if you do, you're giving away your wealth, you're giving away your intellectual time and knowledge that you can be developing those three trades that you become a master. The very first trade that I believe every person should know how to do. You should know how to cook. That's a trade. Knowing how to cook is a trade. It prevents you from having to go out to eat and spending your hard capital at these local restaurants. So I think that everybody should learn how to cook. The second trade that you should know how to do is that you should know how to paint. If you own a home, your home is going to need paint, repair, whatever. Instead of you spending your money to hire somebody to do it, if you know how to paint, you can create a business out of painting. And then the last thing that I think that every person should know how to do is that economics. You've got to understand how money works. If you don't know how money works and you don't understand economics and what is a debit and a credit, and you don't know how the tax laws work, you're going to be lost at this game. So I would say become an expert at cooking. Know how to paint, and it can be different types of painting. Paint a vision. Paint some walls. Paint a story. And then the last thing is financial intelligence. Is that every family should be studying how money works. Turn the Netflix off. Turn the TV off. Get a book on financials. Put in a video that's talking about how to create money and wealth. Turn off the BET. BET doesn't have anything on there. Turn it off. If they can't put intellectual knowledge on there that can help you be a better person and your family to be better, tell them to turn the trash off. If they won't turn it off, don't turn it back on. So learn how to cook, learn how to paint, and learn about money. If we got African-American families learning those three trades, you will never, ever be broke. You will never, ever be without capital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I love it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Sister Sound, this is Bilal.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead, Elder Bilal.
All right. Again, this is Bilal Bynum, New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street. Brothers and sisters, at this point, I really would hope that we would just really give some consideration to what we've already heard. Again, I guess what I'm, and my point is this, it's time that we became very proactive. This business of, we've been talking now and getting to know each other and talking the way we're talking now for over 3 years, but you want to know something? During this conversation period, a Selma, Alabama was bought right from under our noses. We're the ones who, when we came up with the idea of renovating and buying Selma, the folks didn't even have lights on in that town. White folks had completely abandoned the town. This is why we all focused on Selma. I spoke to folks who had left Selma, Alabama, and came here just recently to Washington, D.C., because they couldn't live in, they didn't even have electric in the town. So, again, this is how depleted it was when we, when Brother Harris, those developers went over to Selma, and like I said, when they went over there, the buildings that within 2 years that are costing them $1 million and $2 million, they was able to buy some of these buildings for $50,000 to $100,000. Brothers and sisters, we wasn't able to buy enough of them because we didn't pool our funds together. But, like I said, we're on this radio right now, a blog radio. We're being heard all over the world. And if I could show you the statistics of our programs, which will be available next week, they'll show it. They'll come. They'll send them to me. Blog will send them to me. You're going to see our pro in England. Folks listen to our program. Caribbean. Arabia. Please don't like talking at this point. We have a lot of.
You're coughing. You need to mute your line. You're coughing.
So please mute at this point if you're not talking. But my point is this. Brother Harris just give you a perfect example. Just give you a perfect example a few moments ago when he said that they were able to buy one or two buildings, and we have about 50 African different developers able to buy some of the buildings.
Whoever's coughing, please mute your line.
Thank you. We would definitely appreciate it because this is very important, brothers and sisters. Most of the property that was purchased by someone by basically Caucasians and Asians, and they and like you said, they went in and they went into their communities. And along with hearing what our plannings were, they went to their communities, and they were able to put together tens of millions of dollars within a very, very short time. Now, let me say this. Like, man is up having all the dollars. You should be able to do this. You should be able to do that. You should go to school. You should do that. These folks who are making monies in our communities and put together those tens of millions of dollars, no one asked you what your qualifications were. No one asked you what you can. Those investment bankers went in there and they told them what their plans were. The folks heard the values of those plans. They pooled their funds together so they could own these buildings together because they know they're all going to become filthy rich. By doing this, there is no other way out. The place, like I said, didn't have any lights. Lights are on in the cities now. All kinds of renovations is going on, and it's going on because they saw the investment opportunities. But like I said, you see, so that's what I mean about brothers and sisters. This is business, and it's business opportunities, and it's business opportunities. All of this opportunities and activities is going on in the black communities. I've been telling you now for 6 years since we've been on this radio station that the African-American community is the most valuable communities in this country. Why? Because look at our consumer spending. That's our investment focus. 1.7 $1 trillion in 2020. And the same thing's going to happen this year, but last year, $1.7 trillion. So again, if we built our own businesses and pooled our funds together to build the businesses that we're spending our own monies in and start owning these businesses, look how the same way these folks who Brother Harris was saying, within a couple of months, they put together tens of millions of dollars. Why somebody ask yourself, why would they put together this much money to put it in a black community? And then once you get the answer to that, start saying, why am I not doing that? Because this is my community. This is where the business demands are. And if I have all of this going, then it's worth it. And in this case, we know that Black Belt Wall Street, Brother Harris and those investors down there, they want they have a floor. And I don't blame them because, again, when you're trying to do something, you have to know what your investment powers are. So this $2 or $3 investment, couple hundred dollars, that's nothing you can plan with. So their floor is $25,000. Now, New Africa Business Association, along with Black Belt Wall Street, we have made an agreement. We're saying that, look, just like Brother Aziz is saying, we realize everybody may not be able to come up $25,000 one shot. But at the same time, we also realize the same thing that I've been saying, Brother Harris, and I know it's the truth. If we would start making a pledge, and the New Africa Business Association has given everybody out there who is listening right now who would like to be the owner, a part owner of the restaurants or any other business that's being renovated, you want to be a part owner, then yes, you can be a part of that $25,000 investment, even though you didn't have $25,000. You do have $5,000. And the New Africa Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street is saying, make that pledge. We don't want your monies. We don't want you to send us a dime. We just want your pledge because by having your pledge, now we can do our financial planning. And like you said, whether it's in Alabama or many other African-American communities, but we have to be able to know that we can have our communities pooling our funds together. So when we see business opportunities in Selma or anywhere else, we can go after them, and we can go after them immediately, just like these or other investment bankers are doing in their communities. But their communities reacting to this. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, we got to start reacting. We have to pool our funds together. No one person can do this, but at the same time, if I was one person, I would not want to build the type of the many businesses that we need in the black communities. I want the communities, because if you play the game, we all playing the game, and we all are we all are benefiting from the game. So again, I don't see nothing here but so again, ask all of you to continue every week, just like we are now, but again, we're talking about now being proactive, and we're talking about making your pledges. So again, when you hear the values that we're presenting and you think they're a valuable, come on, let us know. But the biggest thing is start saving your monies and making a pledge to us that in a 5 months from now, I can have $5,000. I have it right now. But the whole thing is to be able I am willing to make this pledge. So, again, every week from 7 to 9, the New Africa Business Association, you can get in touch with us by calling the New Africa Business Association, 301-234-9090. Go on the New Africa Business Association.com. You can email us. NABASSOC@gmail.com. NABASSOC@gmail.com. Director Stones, we got 60 seconds. I'm going to let you and Brother Harris and Brother Aziz say goodnight. But I thank everybody for listening. And again, remember what one of us can't do, the many of us can. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for joining us tonight. I know a number of you have texted me to let me know that you're on the line. I thank you for coming on, participating, and we're going to have this discussion again on Saturday. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Sister Stone, Brother Aziz, Brother Bynum, and everyone that's on the call. This is Brother Sam Harris, And what I would say is be intentional. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Harris.
Vitamin Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Vitamin Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.vitaminassociatesinsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288.
Just say.